welcome to the 12th House Podcast. I'm Michelle Pelletson-Lipsitz, your co-host and the founder of Holisticism, aka the head witch in charge. If this is your first time on the 12th House Podcast, welcome. Welcome. We're so excited to have you. On the 12th House, we talk about trying to pull a curtain back, really, around the things that feel opaque or unseen in our day-to-day lives, from the spiritual to the way that we work to the way that we think and the way that we operate. And today, I'm really excited to have our guest, Puno from I Love Creatives, to talk about something that we haven't really touched on here on the podcast, and that is motherhood and becoming a parent. Puno and I were connected by our mutual dear friend, Maceo, who's also been on the podcast. Go check out his episode. We'll link it in the show notes below. He's brilliant. And when someone like Maceo introduces you to a friend and says, you're going to like each other, you take his word and you go for it. And Puno and I happened to be pregnant at the same time when Maceo introduced us. I was very freshly pregnant and very sick. And Puno was had just announced that she was pregnant. And we actually ended up connecting a few months later, right before Puno was about to give birth. And it was actually perfect because we were both in this place of, oh my God, what are we going to do next? Comparing notes, talking about what our businesses looked like, and kind of taking, for both of us, a path into parenthood that was both surprising and also exciting. And it may be like something that neither of us, I don't want to put words in her mouth, and you'll definitely hear from her obviously today because she's our guest, but I think that I can safely say that it wasn't like the long-term plan necessarily, or certain that, at least for me, to have a baby. And especially as a business owner, you have this level of freedom that you get, right, by being an entrepreneur, but you also have a level of a deep level of uncertainty. And, you know, technically we all do. we all have uncertainty in our lives, no matter how certain things seem, no matter how secure our business is or our job is or our partnership is or our life feels, it can all change at the drop of a hat. And really all that you have is yourself to come back to, right? And to rely on and to know that you've got your own back. And I was really excited to not only connect with Puno personally and kind of like walk one step behind her because she's 4 months ahead of me in this parenting thing, but also really get to compare notes and how we've both experienced entering parenthood as entrepreneurs and how we're now thinking about motherhood, because I think for both of us, it's really shifted in the last few years. So I think you're going to appreciate this episode if you are maybe have never thought about becoming a parent, but you really love work and you love your business and you also are wanting to grow and develop as a person. You're not quite sure what that's going to look like. I think this will also be really helpful for anyone who does think that they want to be a parent, but is not quite sure how they're going to balance that with the needs of their business or their business baby, right? We kind of go all over the map. And the cool thing about, I think, this conversation is that we both have different approaches to a very similar strategy or perspective, which is, you know, to have the most fun possible, to build a really great work and build a really great work life, to be there for our family and our kids and to just have a great time doing it and also be there for our business babies that we've spent so long nurturing. So I think you're going to like this episode. And if you have been, I don't know, scared to have a kid, I think you'll actually really appreciate it and enjoy it. So without further ado, let's welcome our guest Puno. Oh my God, look at us. The last time we talked, you were about to give birth. I was throwing up every day. We were in it and we had no idea what was going to happen. And look at us now.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think we look great. We look well rested.
That concealer is doing its job.
Working overtime.
But no, I think I haven't talked to you since. So I'm so curious for the update. But I'm feeling pretty good. Could have gotten more sleep in the past week, but it has nothing to do with the baby. That is shit I would have done before baby. I got caught in a YouTube loop and I was like, this is a good one. I'm just going to not sleep for this.
Sometimes you just have to ride the wave because you don't know when you're going to catch it again. You just have to get in it.
I was in it. I was enjoying it. This morning I needed more coffee, but you know what? You said I look okay, so that's fine.
Wait, now I want to know, what did you get caught up in? What was your hyper focus?
I hadn't seen all of the new comedians taking over Trevor Noah on The Daily Show. And so I was just like watching all of them.
Do you multitask while you're like, I'm a two screen girly. If I'm watching YouTube, I like to have it while I'm like doing other stuff. Or are you like all attention on the YouTube?
So I'm pretty good about just watching stuff in bed. So I'm pretty good about watching stuff in bed.
I'm kind of a professional. Michelle. When it comes to watching stuff in bed, I'm really good at it.
I'm really good about it. If I'm going to brag about something, it's going to be this for sure. I have a lot of recommendations on LinkedIn for this. No, I was like, the reason why I was saying that is because I don't do anything else but watch stuff. And I'll usually have my phone on, and you know how you can scrub, like multitask yeah. with YouTube. I generally don't. I just put it on and go.
Yeah, there's something about the screen within a screen, especially like on an iPhone, that's a little, I don't know, it's too much.
Yeah.
too screen inception.
It is. It's a lot. I'm like, I want to be that person who needed that feature, but I just haven't.
She is not me.
That's not me. I'm there to relax.
Right. You know? I'm like, I want smooth brain vibes. I don't want to be stressed out. I don't want to be multitasking.
Okay, one thing I'm trying to do more is I'll do like those arm circles.
I love a gentle sort of arm movement. Yeah. With no weight. No weight, vibes.
No weight, just vibes. You know?
Okay. I actually have a really good video to send you if you want a little arm situation.
Is under 8 minutes, because that's where I'm at right now. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay. Great.
That's my window for any kind of arm exercise.
When you're watching YouTube videos in bed, and I don't know, tell me if I'm alone in this, but when my baby is like asleep and my partner is asleep and no one's bothering me, like I don't have to email anyone back. It is, I get like this rebellious streak where I'm like, I'm going to stay up till 3:00. Like just... in bed, like doing things on my iPad or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. It's psychotic.
It's so dumb, because I know I look at the clock, I look at her sleeping, and I'm like, go to sleep, dummy. You have to wake up at 7. And it's you. It's all on you. And I'm like, I'll be fine.
I'll totally recover. It's fine. Yeah, I'll rally. And you just figure it out.
Yeah. I've been doing this shit since college, so it's fine.
Okay. So do you feel like you have a baby, or do you feel like a teen mom? Because I feel like a teen mom, even though I'm 34.
I'm 39 and I feel like a teen mom. I think it's also because I look young. And so like when people...
You do. You look very youthful.
Thank you. I'm either a vampire or she's Asian, but I am definitely a vampire.
I was going to say, get you a girl who can do both. Come on.
I got my 23andMe.
Shockingly, just 100% vampire.
I was like, I knew it. Oh my gosh, did I have something in my teeth? Yeah, there you go. I feel like I have a baby, but I also feel like I'm a teen mom because I don't know. I guess like I'm winging it. I'm also having fun, trying not to take things too seriously.
Yeah.
And then sometimes this is the thing that Daniel and I used to always ask each other while I was pregnant. We're like, is it sinking in? And then we'd be like, absolutely not. Nope. And then she was born and then we're like, is it sinking in? And he was like, oddly, she's there. Yeah. I know she's there.
It's out now. Yeah. Like it's, real creatures. And my husband and I do the same thing where I'm just like, yo, you're a dad.
Yeah.
And I'm a mom. This is crazy. It's like that identity. Yeah. I'm super down for it. I like it a lot more than I thought I would.
I like it so much more than I didn't like it before. Like from the outside, I never thought I would like it.
Really?
I don't know. I just looked at all the work at it more than the intangibles, obviously. Yeah, but I really like it. I actually caught myself this morning just looking at her and being like, wow, I really like you a lot. Like, I love you.
One might say I love you.
Yeah.
I like you so much. I might love you.
I might love you. Yeah. Yeah. Like today I was driving to the dermatologist for her and she was in the back. She's just learned how to clap. And so she's doing this in the back.
Like, you can see the wheels turning. It's so cool and so cute. You
know, I'm like, raise them up. Raise your fingers. Just raise your fingers.
You're so close, dude.
You're so close. You got it, though.
Yeah. Okay. I felt extremely similarly about becoming a mother. It wasn't something I was ever like, cannot wait to do that. In fact, like, when people I knew who I really respected and admired got pregnant, sometimes I'd be like, oh man, now their stuff's going to get boring. Or I don't know if I'm, I don't know if I relate to them anymore. So
this is not boring. That's for sure.
It's definitely not boring. I would say that. Definitely not boring. But what was the shift or transition for you that you went from like being a pretty poor but fun but cool entrepreneur to deciding I want to add this other identity into my life, this identity of motherhood?
I think that before I got into this, I thought I would be trying to like separate time or find time. But I realize now I'm trying to figure out how to merge more, how to merge my life more, how to spend more time thoughtfully, like more quality time, and not necessarily like trying to make the most out of just the work part. I don't know why I didn't think that I wouldn't want to hang out with my daughter, but legitimately was not thinking that. I was thinking, okay, I know that I have to do that, but I know I want to work. So how do I work? But now it's both. It's figuring out both things and figuring out both things, not from a, I have to figure out time for work. It's more, I get to do both of these things that I love so much.
Yeah.
So how do I get that done? It's definitely a more optimistic point of view. And yeah, I think that I'm only 8 months in also. So this is even 4 months ago, I had a totally different perspective on all of this.
Okay. That's where I am right now. I'm 4 months in to him being in the world. And sometimes the other day I was like, 2 months ago, I really thought that I like had this down.
Yes.
I was like, I went back to work. I was easing myself back into work and I was like, oh my God, I've been doing this for so long. He's so old. And I'm like, no, that really wasn't that old. Like that's no, not really.
Yeah. Yeah. At 6 months, all sorts of things happened for me. She got sick for the first time. She got teeth for the first time. Daniel got sick. I got sick. So it was like probably the first time that was one of the bigger,
whoa,
this is a lot more. And you are everything. I felt like a single mom for a little bit there.
Really?
But not in a bad way, but just more and actually in a very confident way, like in a way where I was like, wow, I can do this.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can totally do this. But it was a lot harder for me than the first 2 months. So lucky. Frankie was easy sleeper, napped really, everything was chill. Like it was easy peasy. And then 4 months happened, teeth started coming in and I was like, what?
Sorry, why are you're crying like a lot?
You're crying.
Yeah.
Are you okay? Why am I not solving everything right now?
Are you not having a good time right now? Because I was having a good time until I was having a good time.
Yeah. And then it just kept happening. But now we're good. Now we're good. Today is a great day. She's happy and like we're good.
It's great. Yeah. How are you like breaking up your time with work? Or not breaking it up, like with work and with taking care of her, being with her and with your partner? Because I know you all work together. So do you take turns? Is she going to daycare? Because when we talked, you were like, I'm trying to get her into daycare in Pasadena, but it's booked. They're so full. Like
still
full. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to take, I think, this much time for maternity leave. And I think you said you extended that. So it sounds like your plans have shifted quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. Because you have no idea until that baby comes out and then you still don't know.
It's like a moving target all the time.
All the time. And it's happening so fast. Like right before I got on this call, I was like thinking about her clothes 6 months from now because I know it's going to happen so soon. And I'm just like, just do it. I see it. Just do it now. I used to think that I was a very decisive person. I am incredibly decisive now.
Oh yeah. You just do things. Like, I don't know. There's no mulling it over. It's just see it, do it, bing, bang, boom.
I was talking to, I'm going to do a shoot and I was talking to the producer and he's, wow, you're so efficient. I wrote this very long email to you and then you wrote back 3 words. But it was enough to know what I needed to do next. And I was like, yeah, dude, I ain't got no time. I use a lot of Gmail auto suggest.
So smart. Love AI. I love that.
It's helping me out, man. It's helping me out. Yeah. I think when I talked to you, I had these things in my head. I thought that I was going to go to work right away, which was actually true, but also not true.
Okay.
Meaning I thought I was going to go back to work in 5-6 weeks.
Okay.
I actually went back to work at week 2.
Okay.
Because we needed to do something. And I was like, I actually have time because she's sleeping all the time.
You have so much more time in the first couple of weeks than you think you're going to. And you're like, I guess I'll send an email because.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm around. Yeah. It's like at 3 months and 4 months is when it ramps up. So that was the second thing about care, like about help. I thought I'd be able to get into this daycare, but it's still on a wait list. I didn't realize the infant to caretaker ratio is so small, which makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's very hard. We're also post-COVID. And there's not a lot of daycares that take under 1-year-old or 2-year-old. Learning all that now. She is in a daycare, but she won't start until she's 1, but we paid the deposit, so that's
you
good
got,
to
you
go.
You got the spot. You locked
got
it
the
in.
Spot. Locked it in. Paid the money, which is actually cheaper than what I'm doing right now. So then we hired a full-time nanny.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, so that we were like, we got to do this. There's absolutely no way. She works 32 hours a week. So yeah. From 9:30 to 4:30, having Frankie and the nanny in the house is very hard.
Really?
Yeah, it's tough. We live in a loft.
I want to be with her.
I want to be with her. I'm always like looking at what she does. She has separation anxiety-ish stuff now. It starts at around 6 months.
Yeah.
And it's just if she's like laughing or crying or they cry, even though people understand, it's still hard to pay attention. So I think that like for me in this loft, it is really tough. So I've actually found studios, like recording studios.
Yeah.
And I'll just go and I'll rent it if I need to work or do an interview or do a workshop or I don't know or whatever. And then I try to work at Soho House too, but yeah,
no Zoom calls at Soho House.
No Zoom calls at yeah. I'm always taking calls in my car because I'm like, I can't. I'm sorry. This is dumb. I don't want to be by the elevator.
We're taking a little break to talk about something really fun that is coming up.
Very exciting. Most wonderful time of the year. We're opening the doors back up to our very first Notion for Magical Bodies class, System Spells. It's so fun. You're going to have such a good time together.
Technically the goat of our Notion classes.
The crown jewel. But if you had to start anywhere, I would say starting with System Spells. You'll go from black and white to full color when you understand systems and how they work. And that's the goal of our class. We use Notion as the backdrop to sort of help you visualize how systems work together and how you can build them for yourself. And we created this class for people just like us, people with squiggly, nonlinear, creative, intuitive brains who are not naturally organized, who are not naturally sort of like type A, who tend to have lots of notebooks with little scribbles everywhere, all around their house, who have post-its everywhere and send text messages to themselves to remind themselves to buy the things that they need at the grocery store and yet still somehow forget, but are also genius in their own unique way. We made this class for you to help you streamline your thought process and get more clear mentally so that you can do what you're here to do, which is be big, beautiful genius who makes the stuff that you're interested in and really follows, not to be cheesy, but follows their dreams. And I think in particular, this class is amazing for people who have lots of ideas that they want to execute on, whether that is, redesigning your bathroom or planning a big trip to Japan with your family, or finally writing that book that you've always dreamed of writing, but just don't know exactly where to start or really can't keep the motivation up through that project, even though it really excites you. And maybe you feel really bad about that. Listen, it's not your fault, not by a long shot. Really, you've lived in a world forever where systems are made for brains that are not like yours. And it's time for you to learn the systems that make sense for you and your unique, brilliant brain so that you can do the things that you're really excited about, whether it's writing that book or going on that amazing Japanese adventure.
Doors open on April 11th. They close on April 18th, and class officially begins on April 18th. It's a 2-week course with 6 different sessions, and the sessions are all live. If you can't join us live, you can always catch the replay, no big deal. And like all of our classes, if you sign up for one iteration, so if you sign up for System Spells, you get every version of System Spells that we've ever done in the past and in the future. So you can drop into class if you're an alumni whenever you want.
If you need a little bit more information, all the links are in the show notes that will give you all of these details and more. And we hope to see you there.
I'm hosting a Notion cleanup sesh in Mighty Networks, and we'll put the link below so that you can join in case you're just curious to see what it's all about and get a little bit more familiar with Notion. Love to have you. Landing the plane back down on going on maternity leave. You said it was very different.
Yes. Changed so everything. When I talked to you about it, we were going to do a trial run for 2 weeks.
Yes.
And that was great because basically everyone acted like we weren't there for 2 weeks. We saw all the holes. We made a little bit more of a P or delegated any of the tasks that needed to be delegated. And then when mat leave actually happened, I was like, mentally prepared because really the training during that 2 weeks was actually for me, I feel like.
100%. Because I took your advice. Oh. I thought it was so smart. And I only did one. I could only do 1 week just because I'm not strong enough. But yeah, it trains. Your team is not the problem. Like, I'll speak from the eye.
Yeah.
I am the problem, right. Not my team.
Yes, exactly. And the two things I had to learn was how to be okay with them making a decision without talking to you. So the one thing my friend told me was say, okay, you don't even have to explain it to me. Like, I trust you. Just make that decision, whatever you think is best. I trust you. And then you can't talk to them. You can't help them work through it. They have to just do it. So that was really hard because you also don't want to be like, I'm not trying to dismiss you. I'm not trying to make you put too much work on you or whatever. It's just more, I trust you. I do trust you.
Yeah. It's not, I don't care. Do whatever. It's, I genuinely trust that you'll make the best decision.
Yeah.
And you've got this.
That's why that sentence was key. And then the second part was not trying to, you know, get everybody to do more of your freaking ideas. I'm sure the team loved that about me. So that just needed to calm the fuck down. And then the third one was feedback. We delegated I usually give most of the feedback. So we delegated all of the feedback, and I had to be really good about trust that the other person is going to give the right feedback. And things, of course, went wrong. Like, not every day they go wrong, even when I was here. But like, just knowing that it's going to be fine. And at the end of the day, whatever, like, it would be crazy if it would burn down the business, but hopefully it's not going to do that. So
there would have to be such a catastrophic mistake or so many catastrophic mistakes in a row for it to destroy your business that it's so unlikely, especially if you know your team and you trust your team that they're going to be okay.
Now, I am saying all this, but I also know two other things. One, my husband took on a lot of my work and a lot of my worries. So it's not like it
really
went away. It just distributed to someone else. And then two, I try to check in with my team and I try to understand if things are good. And they're telling me so far that things are good and like really genuinely telling it to me. But you just never know what the repercussions are of all of that still. But I trust that my team is going to tell me if it's hitting a limit in any capacity, and that's when I can deal with it. But otherwise, like, I can only do so much. So yeah. So yeah, there could be something brewing right now that I have no idea about, but whatever. What can you do?
Yeah, that's a good point. They could be maybe playing it down to enjoy your time off and take care of yourself and be with your baby. It's not time off. It's a ton of work. Being on the maternity leave is a lot of work. It's also really fun. But also, you've been running your business for such a long time. You've had so many iterations of your business. I remember when you created PeopleMap. Like, I remember using that.
Damn.
And
I missed that business
a long time ago, right? That's a long time ago. You and can see as an owner, as a creative, as a slashy, probably a lot of things that employees or independent contractors just maybe wouldn't get or be able to foresee, oh, this is going to be a problem in the future or down the road if we keep doing things in this way. Did you notice that happened when you were gone? Or maybe did you begin to see the shift in your team of a more entrepreneurial mindset, or like, for lack of a better term, CEO mindset of, ooh, yeah, this is going to have a repercussion down the line, the way that maybe you naturally think?
That there were three people on my team that had enough insight to all of the business, like just their role in general touched lots of the business, that they were then looked to for feedback or review or questions. And so I feel like because of that, yes, like they were definitely now more curious about, okay, so are we doing, should we even be doing this? And why should we not do this? And bottom line, is this important for us? Should we prioritize something else? It's that prioritization part that is the constant like decision that you have to make as a founder, and being okay with switching, even if you're wrong. I think that's one thing that I really like about this team, is that there's really not a lot of ego in, I've got to validate my job some way, so I'm just going to say something just so I can validate my job.
It's like the kid in class who just raises their hand to
like
prove
we
that
get
they're
it.
Talking to the points. Okay, you're a guy. We get it. We understand.
Or just like having to say something. I think everybody is in this beautiful like level of, I'm going to do the work. I'm going to double check the work because I don't want to bother my other teammate. That respect for each other's time has been really cool to see. And the other thing that I, with my project manager, producer said to me was like, it's so nice because everybody on this team doesn't complain about work. Like we don't, that's not like a pastime for us. Like we don't bitch about how much work we have or, oh, so exhausted. Mm-hmm. It's like everybody here actually works very hard, probably harder than anywhere I've worked before, but we all are just down and excited.
Yeah. I think that's pretty rare in a startup, because a lot of the reason that you get so tight with the people that you work with at a startup or a small company is commiserate. Yeah. Like you're connecting over like this shared miserable experience or like difficulty or stress, and or the business really runs on stress. And so many, I think, creative people too, neurodivergent or have ADHD, we call it like squiggly brained, just they're nonlinear thinkers. And the things that motivate nonlinear thinkers are novelty. So over here, it's let's start a new project. Oh, let's create a new course. Oh, what if we did this thing? Like we always want to do something new. And norepinephrine, which is like fear, anxiety, stress. So like pushing deadlines, adding more to your plate. Those are the things that help motivate you to get shit done, but also destroy your life, obviously. And so often that's like the fuel for a smaller business. And it's really cool to hear that's not where you guys are operating from. Do you feel like you've cut back on what you do, or you now that you are like even better at making decisions, that you're doing less in the business?
Like myself personally?
Maybe two part. Yeah, you
definitely
but also
me.
What I love creatives. Because I love creatives is this huge umbrella of lots and lots of different offerings. So is that expanding? Is it contracting?
It's definitely expanding. Yeah. Okay. That was the goal. The goal was that from before I was about to go on mat leave, it was like, Puno's not going to be the face. So how do we scale? What does that look like? I think two things became more real. And I don't think it has anything to do with mat leave either, but it was just the evolution of business and our business in general, but learning more about what problem we want to solve, which for me, I know now very clearly that people who come to I Love Creatives are looking for something new, but aren't necessarily sure what it is. And it's so vague, but it's just that is the reason why people are like, oh, you should check out I Love Creatives. Yeah. You might find something there. Who knows? And then I like, so knowing that now, I think a lot of people aren't sure about what to do with work, and work is so tied with your life. And so people are trying to figure out, should I merge it? How can I just be happier at work? And I've always believed, just for myself, because I was that person, that skills were everything for me. Like, skills gave me the most leverage in terms of picking my path or creating my own path or making my own world. And we're like really going to double down on online education and skills and make them as applied as possible, make them as tangible as possible, and make them as transparent and real, so that when you hear us talking, like, it'll actually connect and make sense in your brain why we're telling you this skill and how to use it. And I'm really excited about that, because ever since we started this thing, that was not really my intention of what I Love Creators. I had no idea what I was going to do with I Love Creators, honestly. It was just like a thing, and I didn't really think much of it.
It was a great name. Sometimes you start with a great name and you're like, I just got to use this URL, dude.
I was even wishy-washy about the name. I wasn't like, that's the name. I was just like, that this domain exists and it's under $20 a year. It's fine.
Yeah.
Sweet spot. I don't know why, but even if it was like $30, I'd probably be like, let's see what else is out there.
Maybe .co. Maybe I don't know.
$20. I think that I definitely... I'm really excited about working on this problem of what do I want to do with my life, and just try to help people look at it and from different perspectives. That's all.
Do you think that, what do I want to do with my life? You've said before that you didn't think that you necessarily wanted to be a mom. Is that kind of like throwing you or adding more information to how you look at I Love Creatives? Of, oh my God, I now have this life that I never imagined for myself, that I never knew I wanted. Are you going to add more content about transitioning into parenthood as an entrepreneur? Or are you going to teach people what you've learned? Because there's a lot of motherhood content.
There's
out there,
so much, and there isn't a lot that is from another person's perspective.
I'm nodding my head vigorously because,
although there are a lot of YouTubers that I follow that I'm like, chill. But I don't know. That one's hard. I already have a hard time talking about like lifestyle business or lifestyle planning, because it's very self-help guru territory. And I don't know why. I need to figure that out. Maybe you can help me, Michelle. But I don't know what my hangups are about that completely.
Yeah.
Then stepping in as an 8-month mom, like, and being like, this is how to do the parenting thing, an audience of parents. Oof.
If people have a lot of opinions on a lot of things, but I've learned they have the most opinions.
I have the most opinions on parenting too. So I get it. I absolutely get it.
Also, my like wishy-washy opinion that's changing all the time, where I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm definitely going to do that. Wait, no, I'm not. I'm definitely going to not do that. I can't believe I ever thought I was going to do that. It's like a moving target again.
Would we collaborate on it? I think maybe, but I don't know. I know I have subscribed to a few of these people and they've got good advice. It's fine. They're doing it fine. Where my money is going, I don't know, but God damn it. But
yeah,
essentially, for those who are not parents, like, I'm talking about taking care of babies.
That's right. Listen, and solid starts, they're taking my money from you. Solid starts.
Solid starts.
Yeah. Solid starts girly over here. Yeah, there's a lot. I don't know, I feel like we're really similar, so maybe you can relate. But like I mentioned, for so many people who I like love their content, really admired, or their businesses and their perspective and hearing about their lives when they became parents, I felt like either their life got taken over by parenthood, and to me, just not being in that place, it wasn't necessarily that interesting to me, or they became parents and entrepreneurs in ways that I just was like, that's not my vibe necessarily. I don't know if that's going to be me in the future, but I love that for you. Do you have a fear or anxiety that sharing this part of your life might alienate some of your people?
Oh, yes, for sure. But I've gotten some good feedback. And I think practice this with my cat because there's a definite...
You soft launched the cat, baby?
I soft launched with cats. And I was like, I know that this is very controversial to cat, but I like this cat, y'all. Not really joking, but I got a lot of like DMs from people about my cat. And they're like, you're right. You have a gateway cat. You're making me like cats. I think that gave me a little bit of permission to be like, okay, I can like the things that I like in a very controversial species debate. And so for babies, I've gotten the same thing. I try not to go overboard with it. I'm not even trying. I have no time to try. But
yeah,
I am more conscious of it because I don't know, like, one, I think I'm more conscious of it because I know that if I say something that is controversial about parenting, I'm going to get opinions thrown at me and I don't want to just be shocked by it. But I definitely feel like people have said, you talk about it in a way that I'm like, oh, that's interesting, or I never really thought of it that way, or it's not too braggy.
You know, like, my baby is the best baby and I'm the best mom.
Ever. Is it braggy? Maybe it's not braggy. Maybe it's like all consuming, maybe, or
I think that that's it. And I think that there's a conversation or whatever archetype of mom content on the internet that's like wine mom, right? Where it's so hard. It's actually the worst. I have to drink my mommy wine juice at 10 a.m. because it sucks so hard. But you're going to love them. And I just never really identified with that type of content. Like, or that, I don't really want that to be my life personally. So to see someone doing it differently and be like, it's actually really fun. I like it a lot. And I also still really like my job. And like, I'm making it work. It's so refreshing.
Yeah, because that was your biggest fear. Or my biggest fear was like... Two biggest fears was, am I going to have a relationship with my daughter like my mom's relationship? Or that was like,
how much time do we have? Jeez,
that was a big one.
We can talk about that forever.
I know, right? Oof, I still haven't even, I need to sign up for that therapy session. And then the second one is like, is it going to be everything? Can you even do it? Can you have a life still? Now people are like, oh, it looks pretty possible. So how do you feel? Like, I'm sure you've updated everybody on your podcast, but...
Yes and no. So this, talking about motherhood, was something that Wallace, our wonderful producer, was like, you should talk to Puno about it, because I told her about our conversation and, you know, how we both were going on maternity leave, and our mutual friend Maceo told me that you were having an amazing time being a mom and you're having fun, because I told him we're just having her, we're like liking it a lot. It's surprising how much we like it. And he's like, that's what Puno said. And I was super hesitant to talk about like baby stuff, being pregnant, all that in front of everyone, because I don't want to be boring and I don't want to give them information that they're like, you know, that's not what we're here for. But Wallace is like, no, it's really interesting. And I think a lot of people who are creative, who are entrepreneurial, have to think about this stuff, right? Okay. Especially people who can give birth at some point. If I'm going to build my own business, am I building a business that supports that? Even if I don't know if I want it, because I didn't want this 5 years ago, 6 years ago when I started my business. And now I'm here and I'm so glad that I have I had the option. Like, I built a business where, unintentionally or not, I built the option in for myself. But I'm trying to answer five questions at the same time. But I think this conversation is really helpful for people to hear, hopefully. And so many people have asked for it, which really surprised me. So I haven't really talked a lot about motherhood or being a parent or doing it as that much. This is really the first convo.
And I want to hear about you. So
It's been fun. I think the biggest thing is I'm just surprised at how much I enjoy it. And I'm also really surprised at how much my anxiety about work has really like kind of dropped off a cliff. And I'm not sure if it's because just by nature of being a parent, you have less time to worry, or if it's that I trust my team more. And it's probably a combination of both, right? I have this amazing team of people. They were awesome while I was on maternity leave. They've always been awesome, but we all got to stretch in new ways, and that's been really cool. And I also think I just have less time for bullshit and things that I don't want to do. So when things feel hard just for because they're not working, I'm much more quick to say, and it's only been 4 months, to just say, I don't think I want to do this. I don't think I want to work with this person. I don't think I want to take this thing on. Is there a more creative way to get the thing done that we want to get done? And what do we actually want to do? Are we trying to like make more money? We can make more money doing this thing. Like we don't need to reinvent the wheel. Are we trying to start an exciting creative project? Okay, cool. What might that look like if it was just purely joy and fun?
Decisive. Now.
Yeah, more decisive. Yeah, maybe just less, not less time for bullshit, but just I'm not really interested in like
oh my
the
gosh,
drama.
Yeah. I definitely felt that way when I was 27 and 30 and I was trying to figure out all of this whole thing. And I realized, wow, I am spending a lot of time just sitting here and worrying and trying to think things through before doing anything because I for some reason think that's going to work. But I just, it's like, I'm just not making any decisions. That's really what's happening.
Right. You're playing it all out in your head, but not actually allowing life to play out. And it's, again, you never know what you're going to get. You and I both went into this experience of bringing life into the world, thinking it was going to be one way and it going a totally different direction. And wow, it's been so much better than I thought it was going to be, which is such a relief.
Yeah, I think also as I do think that freelancers and people who, not just freelancers, but people who have lived in a little bit of uncertainty and chaos for a while are very good at taking in things and having to make decisions about them quickly. I think that skill alone has helped me become a really good parent because you are just constantly problem solving with little information.
Yes, you really trust yourself. Like, I think if you're a consultant, freelancer, independent contractor, entrepreneur, you trust that like you're going to figure it out. And if you don't figure it out, you're just going to go get a job and you're going to figure like it's going to be okay. It doesn't matter if you get fired, like you'll figure out the next step, the next best step. And that's what feels like what parenting is, where you just are like, okay, there's so much information and it's all telling me like it's all contradictory. I just have to trust my gut here. And if I fuck up, then I've got to just right the ship and it will be okay.
That is the cool thing. Before we had your mom and your grandma and your aunt, and that was your source of information for all parenting stuff. But now we have the internet and our friends and our family. So now having to navigate and find what works for you is so key to not feeling overwhelmed and feeling confident in all of it. But I do think that in order to do that, you do need to take action and do many experiments and little mini iterations. And not just with your how you soothe the baby to sleep, but like also with your life and your work. That was always my biggest hang up was like just this inaction of things and then being more overwhelmed and overwhelmed by the additional thoughts that I would rack up that I couldn't say whether they were true or not because I couldn't prove anything without actually doing things. I did this thing when I was like 27. When I quit my job, I was like, I need to think of my life and as a UX designer more. I need to like really just...
Way to bring those hard skills in. I like that.
I was like, the way that I'm going at it is too many assumptions, too many generalizations. It's not agile. I only can iterate once a year at New Year's Eve and vision boards only. I was like, it was just not proactive enough. And so this thing where you're talking about every day, you're just really, is this good for me? Is this not good for me? What can we do? Like it's that movement there is just, it's like, how could you not get to where you are going to be happier if you constantly ask your question every day, what will make me happier? What will make me happier? What will make me happier today?
Yeah. And it's a little intimidating to hear it like that, right? Because you're like, oh my God, that sounds like so much work. Like, I just want to coast, dude. I don't want to ask myself every day and in every moment, is this right? Is this right? Is this right? But it's like you front load that work, you do it, you like work on that muscle for a while, and then it just is, it's there. It's there. It's in you.
Yeah, exactly. I know. Mm-hmm. It's so crazy. Like whenever I do talk about this, people are like, that sounds like a lot of work, but yeah. You know what though? I think someone told me this. They were like, it's not the differences when you're looking at your life and you're looking at how do you deal with the situation that you're in. You don't get like a plan of instructions. You have to actually work with a number of questions. And like those questions are going to help you answer where you go, not this, if I do this, then I'll be happy. It's, am I this? Or should I do this? Do I like this?
I don't know. That is such a good reframe. It's not about asking for the directions. It's about asking the right yeah. questions.
Or just asking.
Yeah, it's true. But not no. in a QAnon way. Just a
yeah. yeah. Oh my, I haven't heard QAnon in a while.
I like to throw it back into this mix every now and then, just keep like, people on their toes.
Same thing with Trump. I was like, oh, that's fun.
I know. I was like, okay, you're in the news again. I don't know if I like the direction this is going in, but okay.
So, okay, wait. So then you did maternity leave. Was that the same? Was that plan?
Yeah, I did maternity leave. I gave myself, so I gave birth at the end of November and I was like, I'm going to try and come back full force by end of February. And I came back to work like half part-time in February. And now, yeah, I'm like pretty much back, but my husband and I split our time working. So he takes half the day and then I take the other half of the day. And yeah, so far that's been working out really well for us with our little dude. It's a little challenging with breastfeeding, but at 6 months, I'm going to go to formula. So I've only got a couple months left and
yeah,
it goes by so fast.
Oh, yeah.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, the pumping thing. I was like, I had to stop. I couldn't do it anymore. I was like, formula 3 months. It's a lot
yeah,
of work.
It's a lot of work. Definitely. I think, and it's pretty stressful, I would say. That's probably my number one stressor is, do I have enough? Am yeah. I going to be able to make enough? Yeah. Is he good if I'm not there? And so I think once we've got that off of our plates, we'll feel even better. But yeah, that's what's working right now. And I'm so lucky that my parents live about an hour away from LA. So
wow.
I'm there right now. I'm here at my parents' house and they're watching my baby right now. So yeah, it's like we're making it, we're figuring it out. But it's, again, it's always changing. And so we'll see what happens.
So how about your team?
They're amazing. I hired a project manager to come on when I was like, probably like 8 weeks before I gave birth. I was like, I need someone whose job is just to like keep everyone on track. And she's amazing. Her name is Jessica. Shout out to Jessica. I think that she, like the team totally couldn't have done it by themselves, but I floated, would you guys be open to this? Would this feel supportive for you? And they were like, yes, it would feel amazing. I think it's been really helpful just to have someone kind of coach them and bounce ideas off, like to take on extra little admin work, like scheduling and stuff like that has been incredible. And they all are the CEOs of their part of the business.
How many people are on your team?
We have six people on the team now. So we're still super small.
Yeah.
Yeah, I work with the best people ever and they love the baby and it's just fun. Oh, like, it's fun for them.
I think though, like that the part about waiting, right, until are you financially ready? I think that we were very lucky and I got to wait until our business was where it's at that we could hire like a project manager and have a team at least of five plus. And I feel like I don't think it would be impossible to do it, but it was definitely a lot easier. And I definitely recognize that.
It's certainly a privilege that to be able to wait till that moment for sure. I don't know if I would have wanted to do it this way if I was a solopreneur. I think it would be a lot harder. I don't think I know it would be a million times harder.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But those are the trade-offs. And I think we're both a little older to advance maternal age. And that's a trade-off.
It really is though that first 2 years, depending on when the kid's going to go to daycare. But it also, when I think about it, that's only 2 years. It's actually
it's such a short time. It's such a short period of time.
Not even all of COVID. But I like, it was the first realization for me that this isn't forever at all. And in fact, it moves so fast that you're just like, whoa, you're just like trying to keep up with all of the experiences that are happening.
You want to like stop and process however you can, because it does go so fast. And whether that's like looking at baby pictures when they're asleep, when you're like, oh my God, remember when they were so little?
Oh my God, it looks nothing like when she came out. I'm like, straight up alien.
Yeah. She looks like a little kid now. She's like a little kid.
Oh my gosh.
She's a baby.
Have you seen like little baby pictures of you like from 0 to 2?
Yeah. And our son looks like me, but also very much looks like my husband. But I see you and your partner,
that
Frankie.
That Frankie has like everything and then has her dad's eyes.
Yeah. I see that.
But like I have pictures of myself when I was barely one, and even like how I smile and laugh and like how I kick my feet, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Genetics is wild, dude.
It's like copy paste. Wow.
Yeah. They really,
that's crazy.
I did it, apparently.
The DNA really did that.
Yeah. I'm like, what else can I make?
I know. Wild that we're just out here 3D printing organs and also running businesses like at the same time.
I know.
It's incredible. But
so slow.
You know, I could talk to you forever. We got to do this again. But how can people keep up with I Love Creatives?
So I Love Creatives, we're making a lot more education. And like we have a graphic design course that we just recently launched that I helped work on 2 weeks in of mat leave. And I'm so proud of it. I think I went to this conference the other day and it was Amy from Tower 28. And she came up to me and I was like, oh my God, hello. And she was like, hey, you're Puno. Do you know that like my employee asked to buy your graphic design course? And I did. And it has been amazing for our team. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. So if you ever wanted to learn graphic design, or if you have a team member that could maybe be interested in taking it, take a look. But otherwise, just watch out for other courses that we've got coming up, or you can follow me on Puno Dos Tres.
All right. And that's our episode. Thank you so much for listening. I hope that you enjoyed it. And full disclosure, I had some technical issues on my end. So I'm sure we could have gone for much longer and talked about this and gone on and on and on together. But unfortunately, the internet gods did not smile upon me on the day that we recorded this episode. So if you'd like Puno to come back, let us know. Shoot us a note at Holisticism on Instagram, or you can reply actually on Spotify and let us know what you thought of this episode. And if you appreciated this, if you got something out of it, if you could rate, review, and subscribe to the 12th House podcast. That really helps us get found by other people. It helps our sponsors know that you really appreciate what we're doing here. And it helps us get even more support for this podcast and this show so we can make more wonderful episodes for you and bring on even cooler guests. I mean, I don't know if you get any cooler than Puno, but guests as cool as Puno. So thanks again. Thanks for listening. I hope that you enjoyed this, and I will see you next week. Okay, bye.
The 12th House is produced by yours truly, Wallace Miller Blanter. Our theme music is made by Nathan McKay, and our wonderful editing is done by Softer Sound Studios, who you can find more information about in our show notes.
Thanks for having me, Michelle. It was so good chatting with you.